doctor, you can call him at 866-444-DIRT. And here he is, Howard Garrett.
Thank you, birthday girl. Happy birthday to my daughter and announcer. She is... She acted almost a little nervous about it, getting so close to 30 years old, 29 years old today, Pearl Harbor Day. I mentioned the first hour. I've got my favorite cartoon of the morning up for you on my Facebook page again. It's another serious one. It's not a funny cartoon. It's related to Pearl Harbor, so check it out. And if you want to be on the show, call me at 866-444-3478. I forgot to finish talking to you about the membership, and this hour is brought to you by the membership portion of DirtDoctor.com. It's the Organic Club of America. And with the holidays coming on, and a lot of times you're scratching your head for an interesting, maybe a little out of the ordinary gift for somebody, how about a membership to our club? Yeah, very inexpensive. The benefits are pretty good, and you can see what they are by going to the website there and going click on the green button over there on the left-hand side of the homepage, which is the logo for the Organic Club of America. I'll tell you about the benefits and the cost and how it all works. One of my books is available for signing up for a couple of years, and a lot of other benefits as well. A lot of the information, the videos, and things that we do first go there first, and before they go to the public side, there's, you know, we have such a huge amount of questions that come in. It takes us a while to get to everybody. We try very hard to do that, but the members get the priority there. So check it out. It's the Organic Club of America. Other things that you might want to consider be on my books too. I got about 16 of them, and they're on all kinds of different subjects, and that might make a decent gift for you in some cases as well. Telephone number is 866-444-3478. Neil is listening on KVNT 1460 in Colorado Springs. Hi, Neil.
Right. How are you, Howard? Listen, I remember your daughter was about 15 years old, just a little girl, and now almost 30?
Yep.
Boy, where does the time go? And you don't seem old enough, though, to have a daughter that old already.
God. Oh, yeah. We had Logan when we were just 13 years old. Just kidding.
Okay. You might remember me. I think I called 15 years ago now. I'm a disappointed consumer, okay? Because I got so excited about these huge chestnuts a couple of days ago. I was so excited. I was thinking that they were going to be delicious and great, you know? So I get home. I got these at a nice place here, and later I found out they're from Korea, okay? These chestnuts are huge, and I checked each one out for wormholes and mold. It didn't have any of that, but I cut the slits in the end and baked them for about 30 minutes at 450 degrees. Okay, so I got them out, and I'm trying to break the shell away from the nut, which I could hardly do, and bust it up and cut my fingers and everything, trying to get the shell apart. And then finally, the meat was sticking to the shell, you know, the inside of the nut, and I tried to eat it. They just were not as sweet as the smaller chestnuts. So what I'm trying to ask you is, what variety do you think I got really got? Do you think they were horse chestnuts or something?
No, they were probably real chestnuts, but where they came from, how they were grown, and all that is who knows, because you bought the actual nuts from a store. Is that what you're talking about?
The manager where they got them, they said, we got these from Korea.
Okay.
And I said, never seen chestnuts this large. They were so impressive, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know what to tell you other than one thing to try next time if you want to try those or some other chestnuts, and that is to roast them a little more slowly than that.
Okay.
You may have done them a little too hot and a little too fast, and that could have some effect on the flavor. You know, I've never grown chestnuts. I've eaten them. You know, when you get good ones, they're really good, but I haven't.
Yes, they are when they're really good.
Yeah, but try that. Try a little slower, and that's a technique. It's a little trick we use on grass-fed meats and cooking other things that are a little bit out of the ordinary. If you cook them fast, they'll be tough. They won't be good. If you cook them nice and slow at a lower temperature, they just melt in your mouth. So it might be the same thing here that would apply for your chestnuts. Give that a shot. I'll put you in charge of this research, and we may have some listeners out there that already have a lot more experience than I do and will call in. So keep listening, and maybe somebody will call in and give us some help.
Okay. Thank you, Howard, and have a good, great Thanksgiving. I mean, I really need Christmas now.
Okay, Neil, you too.
Okay, thank you.
Talk to you soon. I don't guess it's appropriate to say happy Pearl Harbor Day, but anyway, that is what day we have here. Pearl Harbor Day and Logan's birthday, too. 866-444-3478. Dennis is in Rome, Georgia, and you're next up. Hey, what's going on?
I want you to know I love your show, and I want to thank you for the bar of soap I received that's made with organic avocado blueberry.
That's a good soap, isn't it? That's the farmer's market soap, and I'm a big fan. That's all I'm using now. I really like it a lot.
Well, I'm allergic to a lot of soaps, and I tried this, and I did not break out.
Oh, great, great. Glad to get the report.
And I am so happy for you to send it to me. I will buy the soap from now on, and I really enjoy your show. Thank you.
Thank you for calling. Appreciate it, Dennis. Let's wide open line for you here at 866-444-3478. Richard in North Dallas listening on 660 The Answer. Hi, Richard.
Hey, good morning, Howard. Happy birthday, Logan, and happy Pearl Harbor Day.
Yeah, I guess it's okay to say that, isn't it?
I think so.
We have done pretty well since that time.
We have. Well, Howard, I'm proud to say I'm about 90% organic, but the 10% non-organic involves my palm trees.
All right, well, let's get you away from that.
Well, I'm trying. I've had real good success with the varieties that really did good in Houston, but I've had good success here over about 4 years, except for after cold winter and especially cold rain in the winter and early spring, they get that fungus down where the spear starts.
Yeah.
That black brown fungus, and the only thing I've done that I can find that works, and it works really good, is a big box store fungicide. And the couple years I've used it, I've had success, and I said, well, heck, you know, if it works this good, keep on. But last year, in my Texas sable palm, I had fungus, I was expecting it, and I put the big box store fungicide in my hose sprayer to 2 ounces per gallon, and treated them, and then I checked a couple days later, and I'd killed a whole family of lizards, chameleons, down in the heart of that palm.
Yeah.
It just really hurt me to do that.
What was the active ingredient in the product you bought and used?
I don't know. Can I give you the name of the product?
Sure.
Spectracide.
Spectracide. You know, that's an interesting one because Spectracide is a brand name that has been used for insecticides and fungicide, different products, in other words. So you'd have to look on the label there. Do you have it handy by any chance? I'm just curious.
I don't, Howard. I have just a little bit left, and my neighbor has been at this palms business 10 years ahead of me. I moved in, and he's an organic guy. I mean, a non-organic guy. He's pure chemical, but that won't kill our friendship. And he's giving me real good advice, and it's worked. And
well, the good news I've got for you is that you can control that that disease that the palms have, which is common with the organic controls, and it won't come back like it's coming back for you now using the chemicals. See, one of the reasons that I'm opposed to toxic chemical insecticides is especially disease control products, fungicides and bactericides, is that they don't work, really. They don't work long term because you're killing indiscriminately both the pathogens and the beneficial microbes, which will help you control the problem, you know, if you allow them. Birds are flying in. Can you stay with me? We need to talk about this from a couple of different angles. Can you hang with me?
Sure, I can hang.
Okay, be back with Richard talking about palm trees and diseases and things like that. And then we'll go to anything you'd like to talk about at 866-444-3478. Howard Garrett, be right back after this.
Did you know that two of the top five most prescribed drugs in this country are for digestive disorders? It's a fact. Hi, I'm Susie Cohen, author of The 24-Hour Pharmacist. One of the questions I'm most frequently asked is how to relieve and eliminate digestive discomfort. Many people don't realize that indigestion, heartburn, bloating, or gas are often caused by a bacterial imbalance in the GI tract. Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics exclusive formula delivers a live, viable blend of beneficial bacteria directly to the source of your discomfort, relieving uncomfortable symptoms. I recommend Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics for healthy digestion and overall good health because it's backed by 25 years of research. This exclusive formula improves digestive pH and helps you regain bacterial balance by correcting the root cause of digestive issues. I encourage you to discover the Dr. O'Hara difference for yourself.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
Maestro Grow, the makers of great organic fertilizers and soil amendments like Texas Tea, Rose Glow, and the Sick Tree Treatment, is now making Garrett Juice Pro. Garrett Juice Pro is for use on all your crops to improve the soil and plant roots with humic acid, apple cider vinegar, molasses, seaweed, hydrolyzed fish, and beneficial bacteria and fungi. Ask for it in garden centers, feed stores, and hardware stores. And for more information, call 940-648-5400 or go to maestrogrow.com.
Organic Lawn Care, Growing Grass the Natural Way, is Howard's newest book. Howard explains in detail how to establish and maintain lawns, covering, planting, mowing, watering, fertilizing, and managing weeds and other pests. This book explains an easier, less expensive, and less water-intensive program than using conventional lawn care. Have the best-looking lawn in your neighborhood. Get more information or order this great book today by going to Howard Garrett Books on DirtDoctor.com.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of DirtDoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash. Dust if necessary with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to DirtDoctor.com.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit HowardGarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
I have for years advised homeowners about pet health, landscaping, gardening, and pest control. In the pet category, I now have a strong dog and cat recommendation. There are many good pet foods on the market, and we've promoted some of the very best, but Victor is the dog food I recommend and feed my dogs now, and I think you should try it with your pets as well. They'll enjoy it just like mine do. The formulas that I focus on are the grain-free ones, but none of the Victor products contain wheat, corn, soy, or gluten. They're all naturally preserved with no toxins, fake flavors, or colors, and they're loaded with vitamins, minerals, and enzymes, also probiotics, prebiotics, and other healthy ingredients. My dog Carmen and Tater look and feel better than ever. Ask for Victor in your favorite pet or feed store. For more information, go to victordogfood.com or email me by clicking on Ask Howard button on dirtdoctor.com. That's victordogfood.com.
Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at dirtdoctor.com.
Okay, Howard, back with you, and we're talking with Richard in North Dallas about palm trees and diseases and what kind of fungicides to use. Richard, you there?
I'm here.
Tell me, first of all, what you said you had a sable, which is our native Texas palm. What other palms have you been having?
I've got a Washingtonian Phyllithera.
Okay, that's a good one. It's
that's
hard
really
to hear.
Doing good.
Yeah.
And I've got a pendo palm.
Okay. Well, you got some good ones. The pendo is hardy. It's not quite as hardy as those other two, maybe, but it has that really distinctive foliage.
It's a nice tree. And on that pendo palm, what I've done is if they get yellow, to treat them with sulfur, just water in sulfur around it.
Well,
is that harmful?
Yeah, I'll give you a better way to go than that. Sulfur is a little bit of a problematic material to use. It's okay in an organic program, but if you use a little bit too much sulfur or use it too often, it goes from being something that's beneficial to the chemistry and the biology of the soil to being very destructive. And a lot of sulfur can even sterilize the soil.
I see.
I'm always reluctant to recommend people use single element type amendments like sulfur or boron or iron products, except for green sand. Green sand has available iron in it and a whole bunch of other trace minerals. It's buffered very, very well because it has a lot of organic matter. It's a ancient marine deposit is what it is. It's easily available. Put it on the ground, and various chloroses will go away by using that plant. It'll green up most any plant, including turf. Now, back to your palms. The sable palm kind of gives away where I think we are here. Sable is very hardy here and rarely has any trouble. I'm suspicious that what led to some of your problem here is watering a little too much or having them in areas that aren't draining quite as well as you'd like.
That's true. That sable palm is in kind of a low area.
Okay. I've figured that because they don't have many problems. We've got to fix that somehow, Richard, or move the tree, or you're going to be fighting this forever. You can put in a drain line, dig a ditch, fill it with gravel, take it to a lower spot is one of the easiest ways. It's some trouble to do it, but it works very well, and it's not that costly to do. And then from controlling the disease standpoint, if it continues to pop up because it stays too wet or whatever, use Garrett juice mixture with the hydrogen peroxide in it, the same exact spray that we use for oak wilt and rose rosette, you can use the hydrogen peroxide by itself, you know, around a 2% concentration. In other words, a little bit weaker even than the grocery store 3% hydrogen peroxide. But if you mix it with compost tea or the whole Garrett juice mixture, it works better and it works long term. So you can kill the disease without having the toxic spectracide chemical having to be around that and killing your beneficials. And the hydrogen peroxide will kill fungus and bacteria both. And you, if you fix the drainage situation, you shouldn't ever have to spray again.
Okay, well, that's good to know. I appreciate that. Now, that green sand, that has the same effect as the sulfur. And I use the sulfur as a preventative. It wasn't yellowing, but what I did was I got some stuff at Wells Brothers. It's like a little pellet of sulfur, like a slow release deal.
Yeah, that's...
Only did it in the spring, and I just pulled the mulch around it and put it around the perimeter and watered it and watched it, you know, and kept an eye on it, and it's still there, so I haven't added any more. So,
well, it's not a bad amendment to use in alkaline soil areas like you live in, like we have. Sulfur a lot of times is not available and can help the general balance of the chemistry. But like I said, you're going to you're playing with fire a little bit when you're dealing with sulfur. If you do it a little bit too often or a little bit too much, you cause a bigger problem than you had to begin with. That's my worry about sulfur use. I'd rather see you use compost, organic fertilizers, the Garrett juice mixture. If you spray garlic sprays made from garlic oil, there's sulfur in that. In other words, there's much better buffered sources of sulfur to use that are associated with a lot of other elements than just trying to use a single element by itself. That's dangerous.
Okay. Well, good. It's good information, Howard.
Richard, appreciate your call. You got some great palm trees there. Get it dried out. Don't think you're going to have a long-term problem.
I appreciate it. I'll do that.
Talk to you later.
You see ya.
And we all of a sudden have several lines for you. So jump on here. I'd like to chat with you about whatever is on your mind at 866-444-3478. We've had a couple of things going on at our house in Howard's Garden I wanted to tell you about. Like I said, we're still taking out some of the dead things. We're battling the leaves that are coming down by the jillions there. Everything's kind of dropping at the same time now. And we're doing the management that, of course, I always recommend. What little grass we have, we're mulching leaves into the turf areas. I have a small patch of St. Augustine grass, palmetto that we're trying, and we have a small patch of zoysia that we're trying. So first goes there, and then the huge amount we have left, we are mowing in the driveway, turning it from full leaves into a mulch. It goes in onto bare soil and beds. When that's all covered, it goes into the big compost pile to have some molasses mixed with it and things like that, and it becomes a beautiful, beautiful compost for you. Under no circumstances should anybody be sending the leaves to the landfill. More on that when I come back. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, 866-444-3478.
The Texas Organic Research Center is a nonprofit research institute focused on natural organic programs in gardening, landscape management, and agribusiness. TORC's mission is to show that organics work better than chemical approaches, saves money, and helps us enjoy healthier lives. The Texas Organic Research Center needs your support. Go to dirtdoctor.com and click on the Texas Organic Research Center logo on the homepage to contribute. Your contribution is tax deductible. Please donate to make our world better today.
Learn to live more natural and organic and be healthier by learning from and purchasing one of Howard Garrett's best-selling books. His natural, organic programs and pest solutions work better in every way and can save you money. You can learn about growing beautiful landscaping, delicious, healthy food crops, pet management, and healthy living. Howard's books are useful coast to coast and border to border. You can learn about the books on DirtDoctor.com and find them in your favorite bookstore.
To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide.
First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high-nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed in mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit DirtDoctor.com.
Black Cow, the mature manure black cow.
Black Cow composted cow manure is the perfect soil conditioner for our Texas soils. Black Cow enriches the soil with organic matter and helps retain moisture. Now is the perfect time to prepare fall flower beds and fall vegetable gardens. Getting the soil ready is your first step. Black Cow is fully composted, easy to use, and there's no bad odor. Fall is also a great time to set out new shrubs and trees. It's cooler and less stressful on new plants. Mix Black Cow with your native soil right in the planting hole. It's a natural fertilizer that releases nutrients slowly, the way Mother Nature intended. Look for Black Cow in the bright yellow and black bag at your favorite garden center or home improvement warehouse. For more information, check the website, Black Cow, spelled with a K.com.
Black Cow, the mature manure, Black Cow.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to DirtDoctor.com.
All right, Howard, back with you. Telephone number is 866-444-3478. Here's Mike in Delaware County. What's up, Mike?
Good morning. Well, I bought a 7-foot Chinese windmill palm, and I'm always experimenting with the whole cold hardy palms up here in the Northeast, which is I'm about 15 minutes south of Philadelphia.
Okay.
And I packed the tree in sand, which it likes a lot of drainage. And the first year they tell you to cover it, I covered it, and it actually grew during the winter. And after that, I took it off, and it was good for 5 years, uncovered. Beautiful tree. And last year, with this horrible, horrible snow we had snow every other week up here, every other week at least a foot or two. And I noticed that the fronds from the center at the top, kind of like a stem rot, mm-hmm. would pull out. And I know some people said it's the soil, but I'm convinced it's absolutely not the soil. It was the weather that caused the problem with the palm tree.
Well, I would probably agree with that. It's pretty cold there for palms, but let me give you a couple of tips on it.
Okay.
If it is a windmill palm, that's a generic name. Do you know if it's Washingtonia?
I believe I bought it down in TYTY, Tie Tie Nursery.
Okay. Yeah, I'm familiar with them. If it's a Washingtonia, there's two different types of Washingtonia palms, the fan palms. One is Robusta, and it's the one that's sold the most. If you have that one, if there's any way you can figure that out, you know you've got one that's probably not going to be long-lived there, even if you go out of your way to protect it. The Washingtonia filifera is a little shorter, a little more stout, a little wider trunk. It can take drier soil, and it's also much, much hardier, cold hardy.
Okay.
Now,
okay.
If you have that one, you probably still will have to protect it in your area there in Philadelphia. But the other thing you may want to do is go to my website, go to dirtdoctor.com, and go into the library, and I've written articles about cold hardy palms.
Oh, great.
There are two that are much more hardy than the fan palms. That sounds like what you have. One is called a Japanese, then the Washingtonia palms. One is called Japanese fan palm.
Okay.
And it's the one that has kind of a flimsy looking trunk. It's kind of weird. It'll be thinner at the base, at the ground, than at the top. And it is extremely cold hardy. It has been used maybe a little too much down here in the South by people because it's so easy to grow. So that's one option. The other option from a cold hardiness standpoint is a palm called needle palm. And needle its palm. Name comes from the fact that it has needle down in the crown. It has these needles, and you can actually stab yourself with it. You can be a little bit careful handling it.
That sounds like the Rubellini.
But it is a beautiful, dark green palm. The only negative about it is that it doesn't develop a trunk. It's a bushy palm.
Gotcha. Well, that's nice, too.
Oh, it's a beautiful, beautiful plant.
This tree here, to give you a hint, maybe perhaps might point you in the right direction as to what kind of tree it was. It has it's covered with hairs. It has a lot of protective thin, like gray hairs all the way up the trunk. And
well, a lot of palms have something similar. Send me a photograph.
Yeah.
I got a feeling you got one of the Washingtonias.
I think so.
And if you have filifera, it's got a pretty good chance. If you buy more, try those other two I mentioned. And take a look at the article I wrote about the cold hardy palms. There's a few others that might be worth a try.
I definitely will do that. It's a great hobby, and it's a great experiment. That's for sure.
Well, there are palms that'll grow in the cold, Mike. So give it a shot and keep us posted.
I sure will. And thanks for taking my call. I appreciate that.
Thanks, Mike.
Okie dokie. Bye bye.
Mike calling on 990 there in Delaware County. Open line for you at 866-444-3478. Jim in Teague listening to 660. Hi, Jim.
How you doing?
Doing well, thank you, sir.
I want to find out what type of water filter you use.
Okay, it's a good question because water has become a big subject here in Dallas lately because we're actually getting fairly close to a vote here in Dallas to eliminate the idiocy of buying fluoride and putting it in the drinking water here. So people are starting to talk to me about filters more and more. Judy and I have had a whole house filter for a long time, for years. And it doesn't have a brand name. It was actually built by different components being put together and by a guy that was, you know, in the water business. There are several companies. I would recommend that you do a search on, you know, whole house water filters and things like that. And that's the ultimate way to go, is to have all the water that you use in your house filtered with carbon filters first, and then you have a secondary situation like we have that's reverse osmosis to take, you know, even more of contaminants out of the water. The only negative thing about it is it takes a lot of the minerals out of the water that are beneficial minerals. So I tend to use my reverse osmosis water along with the water that is one of our sponsors called Crazy Water, because it is a wonderful, high-quality mineral spring water, and the combination works really well.
Yeah.
But I don't have a brand name. I wish I did. I wish we had a sponsor and some water people that we work with to do that more. We do have the Crazy Water people, and they're fantastic. But as far as filter situations, we don't have anybody right now that that we're that familiar with and can recommend. I just recommend doing a search, seeing somebody in your area, getting them to come by and talk about what would work best in your situation. But the best thing, if the budget allows it, is to have big carbon filters to filter everything. So when you bathe and shower, you're using clean water. You get more contaminants in your body in a lot of cases from that than you do from drinking it.
Right.
So, and then the reverse osmosis is a smaller situation, goes under the counter. There are countertop filtered systems, filter tools, filter devices that are being advertised nationally, and they look pretty good. I just don't have any experience with them.
All right. Okay. Well, thank you.
If you find something that you think's really great, let me know.
All right.
I appreciate it.
Thank you, God.
Number here is 866-444-3478. Just a little bit more before we go to the next call. On the Dallas situation, we have a friend, Sheffy Cadane, who's on the city council, and I'm remiss in talking to him about how that's going. There's a vote coming up, and I think some of the other city councilmen are starting to get interested because they finally wised up to two things here in Dallas. And that is, we already have the whatever 0.005% of fluoride naturally in the water. And it's a much better quality form of fluoride and at a low enough level where it isn't a big problem before they put in the toxic fluoride product, which is an acid. It's probably imported from another country. It is for sure an industrial waste, and has other contaminants, heavy metals in it as well. And it's the 0.02 that kicks it up to make it 7.07% in the water, which is crazy. And what they have finally figured out is that the people that are at the most risk for this fluoride contamination in the water are not the rich people that can afford the filters and to buy crazy water and to buy, you know, bottled water in general. It's the folks that are really struggling to get by and don't have budgets to be able to buy better quality water. And they're the ones that are getting the contaminated stuff and getting it only. So I think a lot of people, and there were some great speakers, if you go do a web search. We need to put this on Facebook so it's easy for you to find. There were some great speakers at City Council recently that spoke on that topic about the poor people being the most severely impacted by us putting this toxic fluoride in the water. And those of you that think that it's better for kids and for cavities and all that, that's not true. And there's plenty of research available on that. We've got a lot on our website, and these people that are working on trying to get it banned or stopped, spending $1 million on it a year here, they have tremendous detailed information for you. And some of that information is from scientists and from dentists, some who have changed their mind on it, in fact. Larry, listening somewhere in Ogden, Utah. Hi, Larry.
Hi.
Listening on our app, I guess. That's where he's listening.
I am.
Yeah.
Yep, that's right. I had a question about the use of fall leaves.
Okay.
And your thoughts about in some areas where it's possible just to leave the leaves that fall the year round instead of raking them up and the possibility of, I know it'd be better to chop them, but is it okay just to leave them to cover the bare ground and keep weeds and stuff out?
You bet. That's what goes on in the forest, isn't it, Larry?
Right.
Yeah,
right.
It's fine to do that, except for one thing. If you do that in a residential garden, and if you have as many trees as I do, the leaves would completely cover a lot of ground cover, a lot of low-growing annuals and perennials that may still be growing and cool season things, you know.
I'd remove it from all the plants.
Yeah, that, other than that, there's no reason in the world. Some people make the ridiculous comment and take the position that you will encourage disease by leaving the leaves. Well, you know, if that was the case, the forests and the prairies and everything would be in really dire shape. You know, it's just the natural way for the leaves to the flowers and the leaves and the pollen, all that stuff falling to the ground and decaying and being recycled, building the soil. You know, that's the natural way for plants to grow and to be maintained.
Would it be a good idea to kind of turn them or ruffle them up once in a while?
If you rough them up, they'll break down a little quicker, and it helps you on the small plants. Let me put you on hold if you had something else, because I've got to run a minute. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, and I'll be right back after this.
Crazy water is so good, it's crazy. Here's the crazy water tip of the day. Hydration. As sunny days get longer, it's easier for your heart to pump blood through the vessels when you're properly hydrated. Plus, athletic performance can last up to 33% longer. Crazy water contains over 11 minerals that help with hydration, recovery, replenishing your electrolytes, and more. And crazy water does it all naturally. Get some at Whole Foods, Central Market, and other crazy good stores. DrinkCrazyWater.com for a store in your area.
BioSI is a leading manufacturer of microbial products that help build healthy soil to grow healthy gardens and food crops. BioSI products loosen the soil, improve fertilizer and water efficiency, and help reduce diseases in crops. For growers, BioSI's stubble digester helps reduce crop residue and prepares your field for next season's growth. Order BioSI's lawn and garden products today by contacting BioSI at 866-393-4786 or at BioSITechnology.com. That's BioSITechnology.com.
Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, here for Victor Pet Foods. Besides having grain-free products, all Victor formulations are free of wheat, corn, soy, or gluten and are naturally preserved with no toxins, flavors, or colors. Victor's loaded with vitamins, minerals, enzymes, probiotics, prebiotics, and other healthy ingredients. My dogs, Carmen and Tater, love the Victor. I feel strongly that your dogs will too. Ask for Victor in your favorite pet or feed store or go to victordogfood.com. That's victordogfood.com.
EcoSafe provides natural, organic pest control to take care of pests without using harmful, toxic products. EcoSafe offers complete commercial and residential pest management, flea and tick control, rodent control, and termite inspections and treatment. EcoSafe specializes in the use of Spectra products to eliminate pests naturally. EcoSafe is also offering franchise opportunities to the pest control companies. Call 1-855-825-2849 or go to EcoSafePest.com.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit HowardGarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
You know it's important to maintain healthy cholesterol levels, but did you know that keeping your blood pressure in a healthy range is just as important for good heart health? Without healthy circulation, oxygen and vital nutrients can't be delivered to your body, and elevated blood pressure can put stress on your veins and arteries, leading to serious heart conditions. But here's the good news. There are things you can do right now to encourage healthy blood pressure. One of the easiest is to take Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract. A recent published clinical study suggests that taking Kyolic supports healthy blood pressure and can mean better circulation throughout your body. And now, Kyolic has created Formula 109, a unique supplement with other natural ingredients to help relax and support healthy blood pressure. Taking Kyolic Formula 109 every day as part of a heart-smart lifestyle is the easy, all-natural way to keep you in circulation. Available everywhere fine nutritional supplements are sold. Visit Kyolic.com or call 1-800-421-2998 for a free sample today. 1-800-421-2998. Have you had your Kyolic today?
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's Tree Health Plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with Garrett juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
Alrighty, Howard back. I just spent a little time there putting the video I was referring to about the fluoride thing, the most recent conversation at Dallas City Hall on our Facebook. So go check it out, and we'll continue to talk about that. The vote's coming up, I think, in January. I'm not positive, but pretty soon. So keep our fingers crossed that we get rid of that ridiculous thing of putting a waste material that comes from making synthetic fertilizer, basically, into our water. Larry, still with us in Utah. Did you have something else, Larry?
Yeah, I was just wondering what kinds of organic fertilizers could you use over the top of the leaves that would work its way down through the leaves and get into the soil?
One of the things that I do in that case is use dry molasses. And if you go to the feed stores, farm stores, ranch stores around your area, they'll probably have dry molasses there because it's used in animal feeds, you know, in livestock feeds, and it works as well as anything. But then the second answer would be any kind of an organic fertilizer at all will help, especially if you put the organic fertilizer into the leaves and wet it. It just speeds up the process of, you know, the natural breakdown of the leaves. You don't have to do anything, but the fertilizer will help speed up the process.
Okay, great.
All right.
I appreciate your help.
Appreciate
Thank
the
you.
Time. Thanks. Let's go to Midlothian. Listening on 660 is Mike. Hey, Mike.
Yes.
What's up?
Well, hey, I've got one large red oak tree in my yard. It's always staked green and not had much fall color to it at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I've gone and I bought like three more, and I was just wondering, it looks like they're going to be as green as the other one, and they're shroomed red oaks, and I was just, there's other people in my neighborhood, you know, they have these trees, some of them are orange, and some of them are beautiful reds, and maroon, but it looks like mine are just going to be green. I was wondering what the deal was.
Well, it's kind of like our family. My brother has kind of reddish hair and light skin. I have dark skin and had dark hair until it all fell out, and now it's pretty much gray. And my sister had blonde hair. It's the same thing. There's a genetic difference in trees that have the same genus and species. They were crossbred with different parents. And red oaks have this incredible variety, as you are suggesting here, that you're seeing yourself. Some, and it not only affects the color, but it affects the size of the leaves, the exact shape of the leaves, the color of the bark, the texture of the bark. There are red oaks, for example, near my office, and one of them is actually a Canby oak, which is a red oak, but if they get a certain amount of characteristics, you know, they actually get a new name. But we've got Canby red oak near our office. It still has green leaves on it right now, but they're turning red, and they'll turn red after the next probably hard freeze, and they'll stay red on the tree until spring, and the buds push them off, and the new leaves start to come. Right next to it, and I've talked to the owner of this property, it's a rental property, and he said he bought the two red oaks at exactly the same time, thought they were the same thing. The Canby oak is almost twice as tall as the one on the left, which, you know, isn't a Canby, and it's kind of wider and shorter and has completely different fall color than the one right on the right. So it's just a difference in the trees. What you see is what you get. There's not anything you can do to change the color. Sometimes it will be affected a little bit by the, if not a lot, by the chemistry of the soil, the type of soil. But basically it has to do with the genetics that are in that plant.
Yeah. Well, I was noticing it's mostly rock out there where I'm at right now. I got about 6 inches of loose rock and topsoil, and then, you know, it's a lot of solid rock. And I was kind of under the impression that the shumarid red oak was probably the only one that was going to be able to grow in this type of soil out here.
Well, actually, some people will argue with you about that. In fact, my friend Bob Webster down in San Antonio, he warns his listeners down in San Antonio to not ever buy shumarid red oak, that it's lousy, it won't work, and all that. And I've talked to him about it, and we argue about it a little bit. My position is that all of the red oaks are crossbreeds. They're all interbred to some degree. And some have a little bit more, quote-unquote, shumarid red oak blood in them than others. Some will have some pin oak blood in them, which is also a red oak, but it's a red oak that can't take alkaline soil. It grows in acid sandy soil.
Yeah.
And so they are all mixed breeds to a degree. The one that will give you the best chance is to get a native grown red oak that's a lot of times called escarpment red oak or Spanish oak or Texas red oak. And if you had Texas red oaks that created that acorn that new red oak came from, that's going to give you the tree that's going to be the prettiest red fall color and the most durable in the alkaline, dry, arid soils. But the only way to know that is to get a tree grown in an area where there's nothing but those trees, so the crossbreeding has a real high chance of being just the Texas red oak. You see what I mean? But they're all they're very promiscuous trees, and they're all mixed breeds. Let me put you on hold if you had something else. Got to run a little break here, and then we'll do more gardening talk. 866-444-3478. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor.